For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two on the beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Let's jump back into the debate. The biggest talker in the state today. And with us right now is 3rd District Congressman Dean Phillips. Like all of our guests on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you coming on. As always, I know you were very pleased with the performance of the candidate you're supporting, Vice President Kamala Harris. But let me pivot to this. When we get past how Harris supporters, yourself included, are happy about what happened last night, how confident are you that last night's performance is going to influence undecided voters and cause them to vote for Harris when we get to November 5th?
Well, I, of course, it's hard to be totally objective, but I can't imagine being an independent voter last night and watching that debate and somehow feeling that Donald Trump would be a more competent, steady, and effective leader for the United States of America. Conversely, I think Kamala Harris surprised a lot of people, myself included. Many of us had high hopes, but modest expectations, considering Donald Trump's antics on the debate stage. And I think she shined. The buzz here in Washington is almost euphoric, almost as exciting as it was during the Democratic National Convention. So we were pleased. And I have to say, Chad, that now there is one old incompetent man in the race, and his name's Donald Trump. And I think that showed quite vividly last night on national television in a way that none of us could have anticipated.
Let's stay with Harris, and I will reiterate to you what I said earlier. I think it was a decisive victory for Harris. I do. But I was troubled that multiple times, and we certainly know Donald Trump can meander with the best of them. So I'm not saying Harris is the only one. But I thought three separate times last night, including the first question on, are we better off 4 years ago today than now? Then asked about immigration changes and different approaches, if you had the opportunity, on the administration's departure from Afghanistan. And she just turned them into attacks against Trump. And by the way, all sorts of politicians do it. But if party reputation is kind of a word salad, meandering, I thought those were ample specific times where if she's trying to appeal to undecided voters, that not only can you criticize Trump, which she was going to, you can also provide decisive answers. And on those three points, I didn't think she met the standard.
And Shannon, I have to agree. You know from my number of interviews with you on CCO that it's my great source of frustration in Washington is the unwillingness and perhaps inability of people in elected office to just answer a question. And political pragmatism and self-preservation always take precedence. I would have liked to see her acknowledge that while our macroeconomy is extraordinarily strong, that 60% of Americans are still living paycheck to paycheck and don't feel economically secure. Acknowledge that and then present your proposition on how to fix it. As for Afghanistan, yes, it was tragic. We lost 13 soldiers that day. It was a messy, unfortunate circumstance, poorly coordinated withdrawal. But, of course, she could have then pivoted to say, we have to own that. But it was Donald Trump that initiated this. So there are examples, I think you just referenced a few, where a straight answer, I think, would attract even more voters. I think that's why so many people continue to be disappointed in elected officials. But she seems strong and resolute, competent, and I think got under his skin in a way that nobody, Democrats or Republicans, since 2015 have been able to do.
I want to play you a quick soundbite from Donald Trump last night, which is utter nonsense. And if I would have told you 10 years ago when we were with our boy Jay, and I said, a former president and a future president is going to say this, you would have said, what are you talking about? This is a little bit of Donald Trump last night.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in, they're eating the cats.
That's a former president, Dean Phillips, on just a bizarre conspiracy theory. And by the way, there are one or two people have suggested that geese have all of a sudden, they're gone. Okay. When authorities have looked at this, when journalists have looked at this, there is 0.0% credibility to this. And he still traffics in a conspiracy theory. If he's the last thing he sees on True Social, Twitter, or Laura Loomer, who's flying on this plane, tells him, he'll just spew it out.
And Chad, all I can say is to all the people listening, and I have respect for those who see politics and policy different than I do, but anybody who may have criticized President Biden for his physical decline or challenging his competencies or his mental state.
Can I just chime in? And some of that was fair, yeah. Right?
Oh, some, and I think some of it was fair. He is old. He is in decline.
Yep.
But now he's not in the race. And now one man who's clearly in decline is in the race. I don't know how an American could objectively watch that last night, listen to those words about people eating, I don't know, cats and dogs. It's so bizarre. And all I can say is this. This is a man who's wants to be the president, who will have his hand on the nuclear button, who has to make life and death decisions every single day, and we would expect to be a critical thinker. And he meant it last night. This is not a joke. This was not sarcasm. This is a man who absolutely believes that people were doing that. So all I would say to people listening is, if you're comfortable with a man who clearly believes that there are people eat dogs and cats in Springfield, I, simply see it quite differently, and it scares the you-know-what out of me. And it's obnoxious, it's pathetic, and frankly, if there's anybody in this race now or even before who clearly is facing cognitive impairment, it surely is Donald Trump.
Yeah, I want to stay with that, because Donald Trump, the individual who came down the escalator in 2015 and has dominated politics since then, right? He blew away the Republican field of, I think it was 16 in 2015 and early 2016, pulled off a remarkable upset over Hillary Clinton, was the president for 4 years, lost to Joe Biden, and really hasn't backed away at all. If you are objective and you watch interviews with Trump in 15 and 16 and you watch now, he's not the same person. He just isn't.
Well, not close. And not only is he not close, and I've spent time with the former president. I've been in the White House Situation Room with him. I've been very candid on your show about those elements of his disposition and perspectives and articulations that drive me just crazy, and other elements where I can understand why people are attracted to his presentation. But it's hard not to recognize that this is a man who is not well, who will be 82 years old at the end of the next presidential term. And I'm quite surprised that people in our country right now have the intellectual capability to somehow criticize Joe Biden's capabilities and turn a blind eye to what was so present and dangerous. And frankly, just bizarre last night. And reminding everybody listening, too, that Kamala Harris has chosen a vice president candidate in Governor Walz, who is a 24-year National Guardsman, who has been a teacher, who has been a governor, who has been a congressman, a very experienced man. Donald Trump has chosen someone who has served 2 years in the United States Senate, and that's it. That's it. And if you want an 82-year-old man who's in decline, as bizarre and strange acting as he is, with a man with 2 years of Senate experience who's demonstrated no ability to lead or demonstrate competency or integrity, it's become awfully clear to me. And I hope I consider myself to be amongst the most objective members of the Democratic caucus willing to speak the truth about my own party, its deficiencies, its leaders who have disappointed me. But boy, Chad, in this case, I just cannot imagine looking at this any differently than there's one qualified candidate of character and one who is a very dangerous person to this country and to the world.
If I squeeze in a quick break, can you hang for a little bit longer?
Absolutely.
Congressman Dean Phillips, 3rd District Congressman Phillips, is back with us in moments on CCO.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dean Phillips back with us. I'm going to read a text here. I'm a moderate independent, and when you disparage Trump the way you do, it makes me want to vote for him. By doing this, you're helping to elect him. I have never once blamed individuals who are voting for Donald Trump. I disagree with you. I don't think he's qualified for the job. I think he demonstrated it once again last night. I think he demonstrates that on a regular basis. If you think I am some far left individual, you're not paying attention. Part of the reason why I support this guy, Dean Phillips, is he's a moderate. He's a centrist. I vote for Republicans frequently in elections. I will again. So giving direct opinions about someone who you think is an outlier in some way, you get to disagree. But to say I'm going to vote for that person because somebody is critical of him seems odd to me. So you make this point in a more elaborate way where we can be strong in our views, but in a lot of other ways we can find commonality. And I would assume with this texture I could find more of that. But, you know, it's too much of, if you're on this side, you're the devil. If you're on my side, you're flawless. What do you want to say?
What I want to say is this. Yeah, I have great admiration and respect for the traditional Republican Party, for conservatism. No party has a monopoly on good ideas and effective governance. And we need a marketplace of ideas. This is not about a party or its principles or its policies. This is about a person. And this person last night was very clear. He wishes to further withdraw women's reproductive rights. The first president in my lifetime to do so. This is a man who would not say on national television that he wants to see Ukraine beat Russia. He wouldn't say it. Now, this is a man who wishes to impose 20% tariffs on wide swaths of consumer goods coming into our country, which is a tax because prices go up. You know, this is a man who is not a decent man, who is disparaging, mean-spirited, and a liar. It's not about a party. It's not about principles. It's not about policy. It's about a man. So to anybody listening who wants to maybe vote for him because I'm telling you how I feel about the guy, that's, of course, your prerogative. But I want to ensure you that I have respect for conservative principles. The sad truth is this is not a man who embodies them.
Well, I want to get back to your point on Ukraine. And this is when passionate, longtime conservatives tell me they love Trump. I'm left shaking my head. This is an option of Ukraine, which, by the way, is far from a flawless country, has corruption, has issues, but Ukraine right now is being overrun by a KGB thug who is trying to put the band back together. And if he gets Ukraine, good luck to Poland. We have no idea where he's going. This is the layup of all layups, Dean, to just say, yes, of course we want the war to end. That's a given. Everybody wants the war to end, but we want the war to end with Ukraine winning. It just isn't easy, and it just raises, again, the dynamic of Trump and Putin when he gives that bizarre answer.
Well, rest assured, had he been asked the question who he wants to see win between Israel and terrorists attacking Israel, you know what he would have said without missing a beat.
Right.
We've long suspected there is some strange relationship between Donald Trump and the Russian regime and Putin. You know, when Kamala Harris advised him of world leaders' perspective on Donald Trump, the only man he referenced as a supporter was Orban from Hungary. I was just in Budapest last week. Let me tell you, this is not a man who should be appreciated, respected, or revered in any sense of the word. And let me tell you, the person who would be most disturbed and disgusted right now is Ronald Reagan, because the very principles that he espoused, that were the bedrock of his conservatism, are being destroyed by Donald Trump. And my colleagues, traditional conservatives, are aghast. But as you know, we have a system that rewards, again, the cowardice that is so dangerous and not supporting courage. And that's why I hope voters will be the ones that demonstrate courage at a time this country surely needs it.
Okay, let's talk about the remembrance and where we're at because of what this day means. This is 23 years after 9/11, when thousands of Americans were murdered, when innocent individuals at work, going to work, on a plane, were brutally killed. When you think back that day and where we are now, what strikes you most?
I'll tell you, Chad, it saddens me to say this, but what strikes me most is I don't think we've made a lot of progress in rectifying the challenges and the circumstances that led to that tragedy. In fact, a similar one played out in Israel on October 7th of last year, when 1,200 people were brutally murdered by terrorists with a very similar ideology. I also want to invoke the memory of my dear friend Gordy Ameth, who was my classmate at Blake, a friend, a teammate on our football team, a wonderful guy who called his parents to say he was okay because he was in the second tower. And, of course, never heard from again. And his name is the first one etched in the memorial in New York City. And he's just one of 2,977 that died that day. And thousands more have died since because of the toxic effects of the rubble. And I just this is another area where I think voters, as we go to the polls here in November, should be very mindful of what we face, what still has to be done, and the risks of incompetence in the White House. It is terribly consequential, Chad. And the sad truth is there are millions of people that still want to attack us and destroy us for no other reason than who we are and what we stand for, which is freedom and liberty and decency and the ability to live side by side with people who do see things differently. So I would ask and encourage everybody listening to think about that. Because that's what separates us from so many around the world who would rather use guns and knives and bullets to destroy one another if you eat, think, live, or act differently than those who live next door to you. And I think we have a lot of soul searching to do in this country to ensure that we remain that international beacon for the good character that we're known for. And that's what I'm thinking about today and have tried to do every day in my service to our country in the last 6 years, is make us safer, more collegial, and more grateful for our many blessings.
So I want to just stay with your friend Gordy Ameth. You know, as you know very well, he was honored in YZ a few years ago with the memorial. It's metal, and it's also a piece of glass from Ground Zero. That piece of glass was found near Gordy's body and was taken from New York City to YZ. Now, that glass is gone. Yep. And police believe the artifact was not smashed, but forcefully removed. We've been playing the soundbite during our news update from Laura Oakes, from the chief in YZ, saying he's hoping it was kids who didn't realize the significance. I hope so, too, because if anybody did this to damage a memorial to someone whose life was lost, in 9/11, that would just be a disgusting act and would be uncalled for in every single way.
I couldn't agree more. And sadly, this happens too often, desecration of tombstones and theft of memorials. And, you know, that's kind of goes part and parcel with what I just said moments ago.
Yeah,
you know, what
kind
of country do we want to be, and how are we going to raise our kids? And, you know, I've seen the decency of conservatives and progressives all around this country. And I think we have some important work ahead to ensure future generations, A, know our history, both the good and the bad and the ugly, but also respect it and appreciate it and make sure that the rule of law remains true in the United States, because we're seeing an erosion of that in our cities and in our country and even at the federal level. And that's something I think I'll need to be a little bit more mindful of and try to recapture.
Congressman Dean Phillips of the 3rd District with us. As always, Dean, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Chad. Many thanks.
Dean Phillips with us. In an hour, we're going to speak more extensively about 9/11 and include you in the conversation. Let's pause, get to traffic and weather in moments on CCO.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you news stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.